It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd Bob go? It's right out of the song.
I don't know. He was right here.
Did he go to get a donut?
He might have. The donuts are so good this morning.
Man, you're not kidding. I had a little piece of a coconut donut.
I had a glazed.
All right, limits. The city is just so pumped all the way around. You can feel it in the air.
Yeah, it's a lot different now. A lot different.
Even
last week.
Well, last week?
Last week it was like, well.
And last year's playoff game was like just a foregone conclusion. It feels like all of them have been. This is the most pumped people have been in a long time about the Steelers. How do you think this is going to go? We all have our predictions in. 412-928-9370. How about you? Limits, let's hit the lines.
All right, here's our guy Paul in Washington to chime in.
Hey, Paul.
Giuseppe, Roberto, how are both of you today?
I'm good. I can't speak for Bob. Bob, how are you today?
I'm fine, but my headphones don't work suddenly.
Oh, well, I'm glad you found your way back to the office there, Bob. But anyhow, let's get on with the program here. Hey, I don't understand where all this Starkey derangement syndrome is coming from, that Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl and if the creek don't rise and so on and so forth. But I think we're taking Houston a little bit too lightly. I mean, the Steelers haven't played against a defense like this in a long time. This defense ain't no joke. And I think you're underestimating C.J. Stroud, because I think he can run all over the Steelers' defense if he gets out of containment. But I don't know. I think the D'Amico Ryans is a way better coach than Mike Tomlin. He's accomplished far more in his first couple years. And whoever's doing their draft picks,
he's accomplished
way
far more
than
who in his first couple more. In his first couple years?
Than Mike Tomlin, I would have to say.
Mike Tomlin won a Super Bowl in his second year.
Well, that's the second year, but he did that with Bill Cowher's players. Let's not go sideways
please
on this, Joe.
Yeah, let's not.
It's the truth.
Sideways?
Truth.
You're going backwards
it's
on that.
The truth.
Yeah.
Joe,
yeah.
The
so
truth.
What? Bill Cowher
it's
won with some
truth
of Chuck Knoll's players. Who cares?
I agree with you. I'm not.
That's just the way it is.
That.
You either win or you don't win. I'm not going to ever take any credit away for what Tomlin did early in his career.
Okay.
He hasn't been a great coach.
That being said. He has 4 wins in 18 years.
I hear you. And no one's been
four
more critical
wins
of that than me, Paulie Pavilion.
All right, buddy. You guys, I don't know. I hope there's a cure for Starkey derangement syndrome.
But what about Bob? Here's what I'm curious about. Bob's picking a bigger victory than me, so why don't you talk to Bob?
Well, I think Bob's lost his mind, too.
Have I lost my mind, too, Paul?
It's always me, Bob.
Just
it's never you.
Enjoy the moment. What's is this? A good, that entertainment, you won't get much better entertainment.
I mean, everything he said, there may be merit to, by the way.
Look,
yeah, but
there is merit to it. There is merit to it. I'm tired of watching the Pittsburgh Steelers come up with excuses on why we can't achieve Super Bowl or even playoff victories.
Are you
enough
able to enjoy the game
enough
tonight?
How
are you
going
to be able to enjoy
year
it? Did you enjoy the Ravens game?
I'm going to go to bed at 9 o'clock, Joe, because I'm a seasoned citizen and I have to get my rest, and I'll watch the rest of it at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I think the outcome's going to be just what I think it's going to be now. I don't think the Steelers have a chance.
What's the score going to be?
I'm going to say 32-17.
All right. And when you get up to watch it, Paul, will you know the score at that point or no?
Look, well, I'll have to really try to find the it might be on the NFL Network at that time, but I'll find it. But if I'm wrong, Joe, I will step up to the plate and call the one and only City Limits and take my lumps. But I think I'm going to be proven right that the Steelers are just not ready for prime time.
You may be.
You two gentlemen have a good day.
You too, Paul.
Especially the maestro, City Limits. Bye-bye.
See you, buddy. He is legendary, isn't he, Bob?
He is.
He might be right.
He may be right, but I wish he would enjoy life more. You know, it sounds to me like he's just, you got to be, into the moment. What's the man? We've seen strange things happen in sports. Teams that won that never should have won. Teams that go on runs.
I hear that, but I don't begrudge anybody their cynicism on the Steelers.
I'm not saying that, but I'm also saying, do you at all? So you're going to be this way for the rest of your life until they ever win, and that could be a long time. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just saying it could be now.
It could be the rest of our lives,
Bob. And if you don't enjoy it while it's happening, what's the point of it happening then?
Next.
All right, let's go to a man that made an appearance in the Harry Callis Weekly Wrap this week.
Wow.
Robin West Mifflin.
Rob, what's up?
Oh, man, what's up, fellas? I'm ecstatic, man. I can't wait till tonight, man. This is gonna be a good feeling for the city of Pittsburgh, man, for our fans, man. I'm not getting no crazy vibes about this game. Like, we're gonna go in here and lose, man. CJ Stroud is a high leverage game manager now, man. And I think their aggression is gonna kill them for real. Flying off those edges. I think they're gonna hit them with some shuffle passes, some screens. I just don't think it's gonna be one of those games where we sit at home watching it. And you're sweating the whole game. I don't think it's going to be close for real, to tell you the truth. I mean, that's my opinion. I could be dead wrong, but.
Bob, I like those opinions right there. A high leverage game manager?
Oh, yeah, that's what he is, man.
Yeah, that's what he's become with this team, because there's not enough weaponry is one reason. The offensive line isn't that good. And I've been saying all week that this little dink and dunk Steeler offense, misdirection, screens, is tailor-made for a defense like this, Bob. Not that they're going to riddle them, but that they're going to keep them off balance just enough. I agree with Rob.
Yeah, and I think if you do that, you really minimize the pressure they could put on Rodgers. Quick releases, shorter game. When it's time to go down the field, when he needs more time, this offensive line shows me at least they could be counted on, maybe not all the time, but a large percentage of the time. At least that's been the case for the last, four of the five.
Yeah, and one more thing real quick, fellas. Yeah, they got a great defense, but I don't really dig into stats that much, but Stingley Jr. I think he's in the top three most penalized corners in the league, man. Just remember that, man, when they try to take that shot to DK, because he's not like Sertan over there in Denver. They try to give him his flowers, his praise. Now, yeah, he's good on a good defense, but he's real handy, man. So just remember that when they try to take that deep shot to DK, that Stingley Jr. is one of the most penalized corners over there, man.
Man, I'll tell you, every game I watched this weekend, it felt like there were pivotal either interference calls or interference no calls in every single game.
Yep.
That's because exactly. There's contact all the way.
Saturday, man. I came outside one day in 2 days and watched all them games. And you know what? I'm gonna leave y'all with this, man. You know what was mind-boggling? A lot of these coaches, I don't know if they're losing their mind or they just into these analytics, but this going for fourth down stuff is getting crazy. I mean, you got to take these points.
We just talked about it at the beginning of the show. That's absolutely right. Why are you?
They had some 3 points where they could have went up 20-7, great, get the kick ahead, and then Carolina drove right down and scored. I'm like, man. You got to take these points, man. I don't know what's wrong with these coaches, man. Listen, man, love the show, guys. Man, look, here we go, Steelers, man. I'm just so excited, man. You know, here we go, Steelers, man. Love y'all, man.
See you, Rob.
All right, see you, Rob.
I think everybody is, Bob, except for Paul from Washington, excited about the game.
I can't believe he's going to go to bed. I understand sleep, how important it is, but you can't go to bed tonight on that game, can you?
Well, if you're of a certain age, you might, but the thing that fascinated me was he apparently has no taping capabilities, either DVR or something.
NFL Network. And
I don't know if he's
going to
hope that the game's on NFL Network at 5 a.m. limits. I don't know if that's – hope is not a plan, as they say.
No, hope is not a plan. He doesn't have, I guess, cable where he can record it or YouTube TV to record
too,
it.
That's fine, too, but then stay up. You know, it's better It's better to catch it while you can.
Do you have YouTube TV?
Yes.
Should I get it?
Yeah, I like it.
You can watch a lot of games
at once.
How much
do you pay a month? Because my bill's getting a little bit too crazy.
Do you have YouTube TV?
No.
Yeah, how much do you pay a month limits?
I don't pay that bill.
Do you know how much it is?
I think it's like $75 a month.
That's pretty good.
But I can't tell you exactly.
How come you don't pay that bill?
He lives with his mom and dad.
Okay, you can offer.
You can offer limits to at least split it.
You're an emerging star, right? You can go say...
I might be an emerging star, Bob, but my salary isn't emerging quite yet.
Isn't emerging. Next.
Here is Jim. He's in Columbus.
Hello, Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay, well, I just wondered, does anybody out there feel like Charlie Bunnell?
I can't hear you because it sounds like we're on speakerphone.
Does anybody out there feel like Charlie Bunnell?
I have no idea what
Jim,
he's saying,
take yourself
Bob.
Off speaker.
Okay.
Jim?
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 He's going to have to call back, Linus. I'm sorry.
Where is he? In the bathroom?
I don't know. It
the
sounded
acoustics
like
are not very good.
Horrifying. No. R.I.P. Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead, by the way, Bob. I saw them several times. Saw them with Bob Dylan and Tom Petty at Giant Stadium. I had a deadhead who I think was tripping on acid continuously coming up to me during the show at Giant Stadium in the blazing heat and offering to give me a red sneaker. It was unbelievable.
That's
this
what
guy
happens
kept
when you trip on acid.
He kept coming back to me, just offering this red, like old school. What do you call them? The pro Ked? What were they back in those days? Ked? Chuck Taylor, like.
Yeah.
Very odd.
And what did you keep saying to him?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Yeah, and I thought that was the end of it, and it wasn't. I also lived with a guy named Mark back in Buffalo. I remember the rent was $75. There were four of us in this apartment. He lived in the basement. With a snake. He had a live snake in the basement that I was convinced was going to come upstairs. And his job was to make tie-dye shirts and follow the dead. So he would, he ruined our washer and dryer, first of all, but he would make the tie-dye shirts and then he would hang them all up in the backyard. And then off he went for months at a time, selling his shirts at dead shows. Did you ever see the dead?
One time only, but I wish I would have done it more. I love that music. I love what they stood for, all that stuff. But I also never really got the chance other than one time. And
where was that?
That was in Cleveland, of all places, back in, I don't even know when it was. I don't know the year, but it was a while ago, obviously.
I went to Rochester and saw them. I saw them.
Where did they play in Rochester? I've been to Rochester.
I don't remember. Whatever the hockey arena is there, basketball hockey arena. And then the best was in D.C. at old RFK right before they tore that down, right before Jerry Garcia passed. But this guy was unbelievable. I mean, what a prolific, especially live performer he was. And then they did. They went on without Jerry Garcia and John Mayer in one of the great sort of recreations of oneself in musical history, basically became Jerry Garcia and played with Bob Weir and the Grateful Dead traveling around. They've been doing it for years.
Yeah, that was a little bit too much for me to travel around like that, but I still can't believe you lived in a place where a snake was used as a pet and you didn't worry about it or move out.
I freaked out every day, Bob.
Well, then
I put things under my door. I was afraid he would come up through the vent. Everything. I was afraid every single day. It was traumatizing. Limits, do you even know who the Grateful Dead is or was?
Of course I know who the Grateful Dead is.
Okay. Did you ever see them?
No. Never had the opportunity to.
That would have been before your time.
Yeah.
For the most
well
part.
Before.
Their best album, Bob, was American Beauty. Next.
All right. Here is Bill. Bill is in Uniontown.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, dudes. What's the plan?
For you to talk.
I'm really glad to be not only popping, but I'm Joeing and I'm Tonying. Oh, I mean, that's like the triple crown for me, man. I love you guys.
Hey, thank you.
Here's the thing for this coming game, and I don't want to pee in anybody's Wheaties. However, with what I saw in Cleveland, I have to think to myself, wow. I mean, you know, you have to forget the past, yet at the same time, you have to move forward. And, I mean, we've been getting by the skin of our teeth. My question is this. What do we need to do in the secondary to stop Stroud from exposing our secondary and just blowing us out?
Well, thank you for the call. I think Jalen Ramsey needs to play better, and I wouldn't mind seeing a little more Clark and a little less Duggar. But if they get home a little quicker, that'll help too, Bob, those long developing plays to keep them from happening, right?
Exactly. They're going to try to do it. There's no doubt. Because, you know, if you're D'Amico Ryans and their defensive staff, you're looking and saying, hey, what have they been vulnerable for? And it's been that deep ball, especially in that last game. But as you mentioned, there's a lot that goes into that because they were trying real hard and allocating resources to stop the run. So that leaves some things available down the field. It may not be like that this week, but they're going to need better play from those guys, certainly. So would I be shocked if they connected on a few? No. I would be shocked if they didn't try. They should try to do that and attack a weakness, I think, for the Steelers.
Meantime, Bob, and I just saw this story, Jason Mackey writing, Dave Justy, World Series champion who revolutionized relief pitching, dies at 86.
Sad to hear that.
Did you know Dave?
Yes, he's been in town for a few. Lately, he's been in a wheelchair, hard to move around when I've seen him. But I remember his legendary palm ball. You do not see that very often. And he was really good throwing that pitch, locating that pitch, and really a big part of the World Series championships, no doubt. And that's sad. Sad to see it.
It sure is. National League Championship Series 1971, when they won it all, he became the first reliever to appear in every game of the NLCS. He had 5 1/3 scoreless innings.
That's back when people, it didn't matter days rest, didn't matter pitch count. You just pitched. If they needed you, you said you're ready to go, you pitched.
And the starters went so long that sometimes you didn't pitch, but he sort of changed things or helped to change things. And he finished 4th in the NL Cy Young voting in 70. His first season pitching out of the bullpen. How about that, Mackey writes. 66 appearances with a 3.06 ERA and finished 4th in Cy Young as a reliever. That's incredible. I interacted with Dave a couple times. Great guy. He became really good friends, I know, over the years with Steve Blass. Those two were seemingly best friends, Bob. So condolences to all friends and family of Dave Justy.
It's got to be tough for people who've been with him. Steve Blass, a lot of guys who were his teammates, his friends, and they're getting up there and things happen like this. So it's always sad to see. But, man, what a career he had and how important he was. He's not a name that people throw around much in terms of really important people to win championships, but he was one of them.
Our condolences to the Justy family and all friends of Dave Justy. Dies at age 86. All right, coming up, we get back to the Steelers and a huge game. I imagine the phone line still ringing off the hook limits. Little old school sports talk today. Just getting sort of the vibe here. Paul in Washington says we're all crazy. They're going to lose again. He's not even going to watch. Rob in West Mifflin couldn't be more pumped for the game. Where do you stand here? And then we're going to go over a crazy weekend and some other NFL stories.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Steelers, here we go. Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl.
Cheer to Steelers, black and the gold.
Here Bob goes, first class on the Steelers charter. Here Bob goes.
Steeler Nation has the best fans. We are from
Bob, if they make it to the Super Bowl, will you go on their charter? That's the question.
I don't know.
I think you will.
I don't know. I would love, that's in San Francisco, which is a challenge, when we
here
do the
Bob
business
goes,
we do here.
Here Bob goes, first class on Art's private plane. Here Bob goes.
Here Bob goes with champagne. Here we go.
I like that.
The champagne for Bob.
You got to have champagne. If you're going to the Super Bowl,
you have to
have champagne.
Bob,
yes.
I have a question. You know how in Home Alone, they fly to Paris and they're sitting in first class and they have these huge, very comfy chairs that they're sitting in? Is that what first class used to look like years ago,
in the
90s?
Not anymore.
Really?
To be honest, it's not worth it. Unless you're going overseas or something, you get one of those, they have these new things where you can actually lay down and kind of reclines.
Have you ever gone on a plane that has beds on it?
No.
I have. When the Penguins flew to Tokyo in the year 2000,
they had beds.
Guys were sleeping.
Back then?
Yeah.
Did you have one?
No. I'm a sports writer. They had me in the most uncomfortable seat possible.
No, I know. To me, the first class part of what's going, it's not the same. All it is a drape. now that separates you from the rest of the general population.
It's like the old smoking, non-smoking on planes.
But it used to be much better. Plus, you'd get everything just – and today I don't think they do that in first class.
Row 13 is not is smoking. Row 14 is non-smoking, but they get the smoke blown in their face the whole trip.
Does that make any sense?
That actually happened. Am I right, Bob? The non-smoking and smoking would just be separated by nothing,
well,
just the row.
You're in that little cubicle, that chamber there. No matter if someone's smoking, you're going to inhale it at some point, regardless of where you are.
Can you believe that people just used to light up cigarettes on planes? Limits. Can you even conceive of that?
I remember that.
Honestly, no. I could not see that happening. That just sounds so dangerous.
And then they'd wheel out like a whole dinner. Like the steak the other day.
And a real alcohol, meal. Whatever you were. A real they had it catered by some fancy restaurant, and those of you in the front seat. And but the smell lingers. Even when someone's having a really good dinner, you could smell it in the back.
Oh yeah.
You're thinking, oh man, I get chips.
Now
I
you get a
pretzel.
You get a cracker.
Yeah. You get one
of
cookies.
Although I do
cookies.
Like those.
Same works when you expel gas. I've been in those situations where someone did that and then it just went everywhere.
Wow.
Instead of and no one took accountability for their
I thought you meant they were fueling the plane, bro.
No, I'm talking about someone, you know, expelling gas.
When did they stop doing that? Not the gas, but the food on the plane. Like,
a long
maybe,
time
maybe
ago.
That's hand in hand. Those first class people eat all that stuff, and then they expel gas, and
maybe.
It goes backwards.
Comes with privileges, Bob. Although we've talked about this before, I love those little cinnamon crackers they hand out on the plane.
Oh, they're so good.
Those are a treat.
Yeah, but it's not a big meal.
No, it's not. It's cinnamon crackers. Who's next?
Here is Gary. Gary is in Moon.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, how you doing?
I've never been better. How are you?
I'm fine and dandy. Before we start talking football, I want to say how sorry I am about Mr. Justy.
Yeah.
Years ago, I caddied for him and Jerry Royce at the Montour Country Club in Moon.
I love Jerry Royce.
Wow.
He's a really nice guy, too. Did you get to know
two
Jerry
Royce? Guys.
Yeah, the big lefty with the blonde hair, the blonde bomber.
Just the two wonderful guys. But anyways, the Steelers, I think they definitely have a chance. It seems like since Roethlisberger left, Tomlin has the ability, their players have the ability. We win ugly, we lose ugly. And it's just the way we play that brings the teams to our caliber or we go to their caliber, whatever it may be. But I think it's going to be a struggle. I think it's going to be very physical. I think it's going to be like the old Ravens-Steeler games. I think it's going to be a knockdown, blowdown type of game tonight.
Is it Gary?
I would agree.
Gary,
yes.
If the Steelers win the toss, would you kick or receive? And then I'd like answers from Bob and Mr. P.
I would defer.
Bob?
Me too.
Me three.
Not me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, actually, because then you go on defense first.
Yeah, and it puts the pressure on them right off the bat. And if they get three and out or whatever, all of a sudden everything, you have the ball, then you get it to start the second half. A lot of that's important, and especially in this kind of game. Possessions are going to be important, so if you can get another one out of it because your defense sets a tone in the first possession, that's good.
Next. Limits. Stop arguing with people back
I wasn't
there.
Arguing. I was just listening to the nice man. Here is our guy, Johnny and Farrell, our favorite stoner on the station.
What's up, Johnny?
Hey, fellas. Hey, tell me what you think of this. I think the best way to beat these guys, first, catch them off guard, and then second, get them tired, right? We got Rodgers like a point guard back there. I think we should play heavy, no huddle, and dictate the pace to them. Don't allow them to substitute their players. Catch them with 10 guys on the field. Get them reacting.
12 guys or 10. If they have 10, you don't want to catch them. Let them play.
I agree with that, yes.
Yeah, well, no, exactly. Catch them with the 10 on the field. Go, just go. Just dictate the game to them all game. And this isn't the type of game where you say we need 30, 40 minutes of possession of time against these guys. This offense isn't that good. We can let them go out there. We can get down the field quick and let them throw interceptions and fumbles. I'm telling you, we have to dictate.
And they don't turn the ball over a lot, but I think Stroud is capable of it, especially if the Steelers get a little lead. But I think that they have the fewest turnovers in football, do they not, Bob?
Yes, they don't give it up, and they take it away. So, I mean, that's the whole thing. They're good at it. They're plus 17, second in the league, 29 takeaways, and only 12 offensive mistakes. So that's pretty good.
Do you hear the little dog in the background,
Bob? Yep.
My little dog Bailey is having trouble with some, it's like acid reflux, it feels like, but it's also like a neurological thing, the vet said. So he can't like chew his food and swallow it. You know what I mean? So he's been having all kinds of trouble, and he's on medication, and it's not going well.
I hate to see
it's painful to watch
animals and pets go through that kind of stuff. Because you can't communicate, you don't know exactly what they're thinking, but you can just look at their actions and know it's not good.
Yeah, when they're in discomfort, it's the worst feeling. I keep thinking about him. I hated to leave him this morning, but it's been happening for a while now. I never thought a dog could feel just like any other member of the family, Bob, but he does.
We've had a couple, and sadly both had to be put down, and that's one of the hardest things to do. It's just because they are. They don't, you know, they're always there with you. There doesn't matter what kind of day you have. When you come home, they're waggling their tail, waiting to see you.
Right.
You know? And that's.
I keep thinking of him. He likes to sit on the top of the couch by the window like a cat would, and observe everything going on for the whole day. And he was mad, I think, that I left today. Do you think they get mad?
Yes, I think they know, and they also know when they get happy when they hear your car pull in.
No doubt. Limits. How was Muffin doing?
Muffin actually keeps licking her paws, and it has created an infection, and she has to stop doing that. So we've been trying to make sure that she doesn't lick her paws.
Is that something that happened outside, and maybe there's a needle in there?
No,
or
she has a small skin infection right now that we're trying to cure, and a lot of medicines aren't really helping with it. But thankfully, she's not really in any pain. It's just there.
Yeah, that's what you don't want is the pain. It's hard to watch. Anyway, who's next?
Here is Brian. To chime in on the game.
Brian, what's up?
Hey, fellas. Hey, I'm feeling pretty good about the game. I just think I'm opposite of the last caller, though. I think throughout the season, the Steelers play their best games when they dictate the offense and they dictate the pace. And I just think having a quarterback, a legit quarterback, is just giving me hope anyway. It just looks different. It feels different. And Kenny Gainwell said something last week that, you know, this is a tight-knit team. And I think you need that to play for one another. I mean, you look at the debacle in Philly. You got the coach yelling at players and arguing, the fans booing. I have a good feeling. I'm ready to go. I'm going tonight. I'm trying to stay calm and save my energy, but I can't wait.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a good time, I bet, no matter what. I think the crowd will play a big factor in this, too. I mean, if you're there, right off the bat, you can create problems for Houston on offense.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back, too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
So I'm sure they want it to be as loud as it was when that kick by Tyler Loop went wide right.
I think the energy in that place tonight and the matchup itself, one thing I don't expect is for this to go the way of recent Steeler playoff games. Like I will be surprised if this is not a competitive, really close game in the fourth quarter, unless it's the Steelers ahead by a lot. Like if someone's going to do the blowing out, I think it's going to be them. Otherwise, I expect a very close game that, frankly, could go either way. I think the Steelers win it, as I've said 100 times today, 15-10. But some people interpret that, Bob, as disrespecting the Texans. It's not really. I mean, the Texans didn't win their division. Let's not forget about that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the Texans have not won an outdoor playoff game with this coach and this quarterback. So let's see them prove it. I think that offense, their offense, is the worst of the four units on the field, and it's going to struggle mightily tonight. But,
right.
I'm not discounting the idea they could win. Of course they could.
No, and you know their way of doing business is they're going to try to make big hits that lead to big interceptions and or fumbles and turnovers so that they get a short field. They will use Kiami Fairbairn all the time. They trust him no matter what the situation. I think I looked at the numbers. They're one of the least fourth down chances. They don't go after fourth downs all the time. They'd rather kick the three, and that's why they had 48 of them. They trust him. Those points will be big. And as you said, you don't want to give away 3 points when you're in a position to get them, even if you think your offense could get a yard or two. If it doesn't work, man, that's a big swing.
It's a big game for the Texans, too, you know.
Of course it is. They need to.
They've never been there. They've never been to a Super Bowl. They've won some playoff games. They've had more success over the past 15 years, really, than the Steelers in terms of playoff wins. They have a playoff win in each of the past two. This coach, this quarterback, at some point they need to advance too. I think D'Amico Ryans just spoke to that. Did he not, Limits? Do you have that quote? I think I sent you a quote.
Yeah, he did. And he knows too. They've been in the playoffs 3 straight years. He's done a really good job getting them. Now the expectations rise down there in Houston, and they expect a lot more.
Ryan said basically that it's time. Here's what he said. I don't know what show this was. I think it was in Houston. He said, this is Ryan's, man, we're here. We're going to Pittsburgh on the road. It's going to be cold. Let's go. It's time for the Texans to put it all together and show that we can go win a game on the road in a tough environment in the playoffs. Let's go get it done. That's the position they're in. There's only so many years you can go, you know, away from home and not win and not advance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the Texans are one of four teams in this, well, before yesterday and before the weekend, Jags had never won a Super Bowl. The Chargers never. The Panthers, the Texans, those teams have been in here for a while and they've never had a chance. Even a team like the Bears, you know, I forgot about this, but even though they've been, you know, in all sorts of turmoil the last several years, the last Super Bowl they were in was the Super Bowl Shuffle in 1985. And I forgot just how long that's been. It's been a long time. Even San Francisco, with all the success they had, Joe, I think it's 1994. I mean, it's once you get to this thing, the expectations are high, but the disappointments are also very bitter, and they happen more than they don't.
I can't wait for the Bob Spillane Bowl next weekend, Bob, in Foxborough on Sunday.
How about that? He's become a big part of their team.
Yeah, he has.
He's a regular player for them, and I think Vrabel really likes the way he plays.
Mike Tomlin has a tendency to win the close ones. Sometimes the Steelers make games close that shouldn't be. That factors heavily into that, but I have a feeling this is going to be the kind of game that he likes and that he believes he can win and that they will win.
I don't think there's any question. I think both coaches think that way. That's the kind they like to play. It's not trying to stop an elite offense. It's going to, you know, move the ball quite a bit. I think both these teams, that's why I look for lower scoring. I just do not see a lot of points in this game.
Bob, what'd you think of Ben Johnson's handshake after the game the other night and then the F the Packers stuff after the game? Disrespectful or the type of stuff you like to see?
I don't like to see it. I like sportsmanship. I don't know why he did that, but I do know in his opening press conference when he took that job, he talked about Matt LaFleur in it.
Yeah, so it doesn't, said I love to beat Matt LaFleur.
That's fine, but just, I mean, there's no need for that. It reminded me of the guy from Georgia Tech who did it at Pat Narduzzi. Remember that? Just a quick flyby.
Yeah. You know what? I guess I didn't love it, but I like that better than a lot of the inner team camaraderie I see these days.
I'll tell you that much.
No, but if you're going to err on one side or the other, I'd rather err on 80s Lakers-Celtics rivalry than exchanging jerseys and hugs after games.
I agree. That I don't like. They can do it whenever they want. It doesn't have to be right after the game and then put it on social media all over the place.
Sometimes when you're the Chicago Bears and you've been kicked in the face for 30 years, it's time to fight back. And I really don't have a problem with it. Don't you feel that way about the Ravens if you're a Steeler fan? Wouldn't you know?
I think for me, the respect, yeah, you got to have that element, but the respect at the end of it should not result in that sort of handshake. That's all I think. Those two, you know, Tomlin and Harbaugh have been through this a lot when they did it, and I think in this case, it's the start of a new kind of battle.
The handshake could have been more respectful. I'll grant you that, but again, if you're going
to
err on one side or the other, err on that side. And as John Thompson said when he first got to when he started winning at Georgetown, when he first got there, it was, you know, it's funny. When I came here and everybody was kicking my ass, they were all so friendly. Your guys play hard. You know, you're a really good coach. I respect your team. And then when I started kicking theirs, they weren't so friendly to me anymore. I think that's the way it goes. And I think if you're the Chicago Bears, if this guy is erring on that side of it, all right, that's what you got to do. You're not going to take it anymore if you're the Bears.
And just when it happens to you, don't be surprised
next
time.
Not at all.
And I wonder if Matt LaFleur is going to be back. I have a feeling they will. They were talking extension before this playoff ever began.
I think that's to be determined here. He's 3-6 in the playoffs.
I understand. Still, I regard him as still a very good coach.
So do I.
And I think there are a lot of very good coaches who are going to end up losing their jobs.
I mean, he's made legitimate runs. And, you know, when I compare a lot of these teams to the Steelers over the past 8 years, a lot of these guys are winning some playoff games at least. And even the ones they lose are great games where they'll lose by a point or a field goal or something. The Steelers are getting blasted in most of these games.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of them.
Right.
Not one of them have they been a real threat to win in the final couple minutes.
You know, we haven't had an overtime game yet. This could be one of them tonight.
You predicting that, Bob?
No, I'm just because I said 19-9. But how about if it did get that way?
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.